Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul kind of just runs through his pedigree. Any of you think that you're a big shot because of your religious activity or religious standing, then let me just throw my pedigree out there. And then that also gives power to the next verse. Think about that. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung that I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Think about that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, beautiful scriptures, Lord. We're going to pull some of these verses out and put a spotlight on them. We're going to pull some of these phrases out and wonder at them tonight. And Lord, this is going to be, one of those messages that we're going to need your help in. Holy Spirit of God, anytime we do have a time of self-examination, Lord, we need your assistance. Sometimes we see what we want to see instead of what we need to see. And so make us very tender to your working in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Three causes of a spiritual eclipse. Three causes of a spiritual eclipse. Because this thing is happening and it seems to be such a big deal, I thought I would at least take about 15 seconds and read up on it. So that's about how much time I took. Definition of a solar eclipse. The phenomenon occurs when the moon moves in front of the sun and blocks its face completely, causing the bright sun to darken to twilight in just seconds. The track of the moon's shadow is called the path of totality, which for Monday's eclipse will be about 115 miles wide and sweep across 15 states in the U.S., in a northeast direction from Texas to Maine for roughly an hour, beginning at 1:30 p.m. Central Time and ending about 3:35 p.m. Eastern Time. How rare is this? I guess this is why it's a big deal. The most recent total solar eclipse in the U.S. was 2017, but an interval of only 7 years is unusual. The previous one before that took place in 1979, and the next one visible in the U.S. will not be until August of 2044. Only 16 other solar eclipses have occurred over at least a part of the lower 48 states in the last 155 years. So, you know, not unheard of, but kind of a big deal. Why is this one special? An estimated 31.6 million people, almost three times as many as in 2017, live in the path of totality, which is longer and also wider than almost every other total eclipse before it, because the moon is closer to the earth and is casting a broader shadow. The time of totality is in any given location is also longer. 7 years ago, the longest duration anywhere was 2 minutes and 42 seconds on Monday. Almost every place along the path can expect 3.5 to 4 minutes of totality, and so there you go. It's a big deal. You say, preacher, I didn't understand any of that. That's why I'm going to illustrate it so that you can see it clearly. And when I get done with this, I think many of you are going to go, oh, I get it now. I need the sun. All right. Can I borrow your sun, Brother Jeff? Okay, here's the sun. All right. Sun is going to stand right here in the middle. Here you go. You're going to stand right there. All right. Apparently, during this, you rotate very, very slowly. And please, please go very slowly. I need some really sharp science students, but I need them to be earth-sized and then moon-sized, Brother Young. And so do you have any suggestions for me as far as just kids that, you know, I'm not going to have to coach very much. They're just like Einsteins when it comes to, we have none of them in our, what's that? Oh, they're all done. They're already on summer break. They left about a week ago mentally on summer break. And so, all right. Should I use girls or guys? What's that? Guys? I mean, girls, you've got to be somewhat coordinated because, you know, there's involved in spinning and rotating. And so how many of you girls are excited about the eye? Look, I got nobody making eye contact with me right now. All right, Jackson, I guess you're going to be the earth, man. You're going to be the earth. And Micah, you're going to be the moon, okay? All right, okay. Now, let's put you kind of in. We got to explain to you what happens because I know Miss Viber don't teach anything in her class. So, all right, hold up your sign so they know who you are. Okay, all right, now. All right, so what do you know about the moon in relationship to the earth? What, do you know much about it? Okay, all right. Who's teacher? Who's the? Right, nobody wants to claim. Listen, I taught Waltons. You don't have to explain it to me. All right. Okay. All right. So, but I really had more expectation from a Gordon. I'm going to tell you. So. All right. So the moon, it rotates around the Earth. Okay. So you're going to rotate around the Earth, and you're going. There you go. All right. Very good. And you're going to have to keep doing that. All right, let's stop. That's good practice. Good. All right. All right. I just stopped the moon. Did you see that? Wow. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, while he's spinning around you, you're rotating. Okay. All right. Not real fast, but you're rotating. All right. So now you rotate and you rotate. And have I got it right so far, Brother Young? Are they going the right directions? Or they want to go counterclockwise? All right, okay, so man alive, thank you. All right, so apparently you're going to go this way, and you're going to spin. No? So he was doing it right? All right, you were doing it right. You need to spin the other direction that you were, okay? Is he doing it right? You got it? All right, that's why I'm referring to him, you know? All right, now, both of you do it at the same time. Let's just practice a couple times. All right, good. All right, very good. All right. You haven't moved at all. Oh, very slow. Like very slow. All right, now here's the deal, okay? Now it's going to get a little complicated because while you're spinning and doing this, you're also rotating around the sun. Which means you're going to have to make a slow circle all the way around the sun and come back to where you are while the moon is circling around you. Have I got this right so far? All right. Okay. Man, it's been a while since I've been in school. I'm pretty impressed, all right? So what do you think? You got any questions about that? Okay, all right. By the way, folks, all this just happened. See, there was a big boom, a big bang, okay? Now, we don't know what blew up and exactly where that came from. Don't ask that question, but listen, I want to just say it as kindly as I can. If you believe in evolution, you're an idiot. You know, I wanted to believe in evolution. I went and seen a doctor, and he said, we'd have to remove 9/10 of your brain, and then you'll be able to believe in evolution. But I'm not trying to be overly mean. But folks, listen to me. Evolution is nothing more than a desperate attempt to try to disprove the existence of God. There's nothing intellectual about it. Albert Einstein says evolution is a mathematical impossibility. I think he was a pretty smart guy. But yet, let's just, you know, go into our universities and come on, puff ourselves, this is good, puff ourselves up and act like we got the intellectual, because all of this just happened. We won't even get, this is spaced perfectly so we don't freeze to death and we don't burn up. This just happens to travel in a pattern so that, you know what, it controls the tides. And by the way, the gravity is not so strong to pull it in, and the gravity is strong enough so it doesn't fling out. But all of this just happened. Come on. Come on. Amen. All right. So you got it? You got it, Mr. Earth? Okay. You got this? All right. All right. So let's just slowly start rotating. Now, as he's doing it, you're going around him. All right. There you go. I'm glad I didn't say it was going to be a slow message or a short message tonight. You're doing good. You're doing, y'all got it? Man, the sun is kind of speeding up a little. The sun just needs to settle down a little bit. You're not going to stay up and catch up with what's going on. Careful, you're getting too close. You're going to get burned up. All right, back off a little. Man, it's a good thing this all just happened. Good thing it just happened. Look at these guys. Come on now. Come on. Does the moon rotate? Does the moon rotate? Because ours is. Okay. All right. Come on over here, Mr. Earth. Good job. All right. Let's give him a round of applause. Now, I was kind of kidding, but you know, there is actually where it's not a perfect circle, the earth going around the sun. There, it is more oblong, and so there are times that the earth's a little bit closer than, and there's times that the moon does, it's not a perfect circle, so the moon's a little closer sometimes to the earth. What makes this one phenomenal is that the earth is about as far away as it's going to get. The moon is about as close as it's going to get. Now, what causes an eclipse, okay? So the sun's shining bright here, and you're coming around, okay? Tomorrow, you're going to come around here, and you're going to block this. You're going to block for just a short amount of time, a few minutes, all the sun that's trying to get to the earth. This moon is going to block it. And so all of a sudden, in the middle of the day tomorrow, by the way, this is going to be kind of fun. I told Cheryl, I know what's going to happen. We live such busy lives. I said, we're going to get up. We're going to say the eclipse is today. We're going to get busy doing our thing. And then all of a sudden, she's going to look at me and go, why is it dark outside? And then we're going to run around and desperately try to find the glasses, you know. That didn't hurt at all. Matter of fact, it helped a lot. Any of you girls, this would help you consider Max as a husband. Yeah, so I got my glasses. I'm ready to go. So excited about this. Somebody text me about 5 minutes before the thing happens. I'm 2044, I'm not going to be here, and I can't miss this thing tomorrow, and I can see me doing it, all right? Okay, good. Now, folks, listen to me. We're going to be pretty short tonight. I want to put something in your mind for tomorrow, okay? I want you just, while you're having fun and while you're out there and while you're experiencing this and it's so cool, you know, I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine tomorrow that this is us, okay? This is where we live. This is us. And, you know, let's change the spelling here. Instead of S-U-N, let's make it S-O-N. And this is the light of the world, amen? And folks, you know, as I was preparing for this message, man, I'll be honest with you. I went down through, I'm going to give you three quick things. We'll be out of here. And every single one of them, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I went back, the Holy Spirit took me back into my life. And there were times that I was experiencing, come on, a spiritual eclipse. And, you know, I wish, look right up here, I wish it only lasted 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, I've talked to Christians that have, you know, basically gotten into kind of, you know, what are you talking about, preacher? We just let stuff get between us and Jesus.
Right there.
And sometimes we realize it pretty quickly and, you know, we get it right pretty quickly. And sometimes we just, you know, isn't it crazy? The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. And we'll make excuses and blame everybody else in the world. And the honest truth is, if you're not, come on, if you've let something get between you and Jesus, it's nobody else's. Come on, it's nobody else's fault. If I let something get between me and Jesus, it's nobody else's fault. You know, people sitting out there in bitterness and out of church for 20 years because somebody in some church did something, and so they're going to stay mad at God, and that's a bunch of baloney. You're not going to stand before the judgment seat, and it's going to be that person's fault if you let something come between you and the Lord. And I want you to just think about this. Think about this. Thank you, gentlemen. Think about this tomorrow when you're watching the eclipse. You guys can be seated. I appreciate it. So they did a good job. Give them a round of applause. Yeah. Good job. I think I brought my tape with me. I moved this because, I use these many signs. And, you know, I'm trying to teach Brother AJ. This is old-time religion graphics, all right? Yeah, come on. This is old-time religion graphics, you know. I mean, this is better than any screen you'll ever put up in church right here, buddy. I'm just telling you right now, man. We're going to spell out S-U-N, all right? Let me just put them out there. That way, you know what? I won't let it drag out. We'll get you all out of here at a decent time. I don't know what's wrong with me, but seems like since I got back in the pulpit, I've gone so long. But, hey, you know, I think everybody, as these things are coming up, some of you in the back may not be able to see, but come on, let's think about it. What's wrong with this one? All right. Yeah, I'm fixing it. It's just, come on, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. And like I said, you know, Jerry Ross can blame everybody, but folks, I hate to say this. Young people, it's so hard. And I mean this. You're going to have to be so careful during your teenage years. I lost about 18 months in the middle of my teenage years where I just let a bunch of junk get between me and Jesus. And, you know, later on, you can't go back and redo that. Okay? And you could say, did you go out into sin? And were you? No, I was in church. And my dad was the pastor, okay? It doesn't matter what kind of family you come from. You know, the devil's never going to stop trying to throw something between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the things that I battled with. Here's the things that I think most of us battle with. Preacher, what causes a spiritual eclipse? You know what? Selfishness. Selfishness. Did you look at verse number 7? We read Philippians 4, verse number 7. Look at that again. The Bible says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You know that you have to say no to some things. You know, you have to say no to yourself if you're going to be as close to the Lord Jesus as you ought to be. He said this, listen, there were some things that would have been gained for me, but it would have come between me and God. Yes. And a lot of times when we are faced with the choice of what's best for us or what's best for our relationship with God, come on, we're old selfish people. And it's just easy to sit there and make a bunch of excuses. The next thing you know, we've got something between us and the Lord. I want to read this. Think about this. What blocks the sun in my life? What causes a spiritual solar eclipse? Listen to this. I do. Now think about this statement. The thing that has most come between the Savior and me is me. I want to say it again. Come on. The thing that has most come between the Savior and me is me. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, young people, listen to me. Well, I want it. 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 Well, what's God want? And if what you want starts becoming more important than what God wants, you're going into a spiritual eclipse. Because that's why Jesus said this. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And so, You know, as much as I'd like to blame everybody in the world, the honest truth is, the times I've suffered from a solar eclipse, this has been the reason more than any other reason, is I just let Jerry Ross get in the way. You know, well, this came between me and God. Well, that came between me and God. Come on, let's be honest. Most of the time, what comes between me and God is me. And so, you know, think about this. And this is going to be kind of one of those nights. We're not here long, but it's going to be like, okay, search me, O God, know my heart. And I preached a message over in Brother Schindler's church years and years and years ago. And there was a man in the church, and he came to me afterwards. And I preached on the sin of quenching the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible's warning against quenching the Spirit of God and His activity in your life. That's a warning to a local New Testament church. That's a warning to Christians. We can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and still quench His activity in our lives. And I had a man come to me, up to me, and he said, tonight was the first time in 30 years that I've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with me about anything. Now, let me just ask you a question, folks. Is that the Holy Spirit's fault? No. Is he, come on. Is the Holy Spirit of God a member of the Trinity? Is he negligent in his responsibilities? It's not that the Holy Spirit wasn't trying to. You know what? If you're not careful, come on. We can just build stuff up and build stuff up and build stuff up and make excuses. And by the way, this man hadn't been out of church for 30 years. In church for 30 years. And we can still have stuff that's come between us and the Savior. Let's talk about the second one, unconfessed sin. Let me read you a verse in Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. If you're taking notes, Psalm 66, 18 through 20. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, I like what David says. A lot of times we read that part of it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. You know what David was saying there? He's saying, you know what I recognized? And if I get sin, unconfessed sin in my life, and you know what? I just let it build up and build up and build up. You know what? Next thing I know, it's blocking out the sun. And you know what? I can't see Jesus. I can't see him the way I ought to see him. My relationship with God is affected. And folks, listen, you know, once you experience that sweet closeness with the Lord, you know, one of the things I want to remind you of is this, is, you know, I know the world's got all kinds of things to offer, but please tell me, what sin is more important than having a clear path to God and him having a clear path to you? And one of the consequences of allowing iniquity in our heart is that God just simply says, hey, you know what? You need to take care of some things. See, what we want to do is we want to live in sin. And then every time we have a problem, we want to come running to God and with our prayers, and we want God to fix everything. God says, wait a minute, you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not going to hear you. Now, folks, I didn't write that. God did. Doesn't mean doesn't mean that he's erased your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Doesn't mean that you're still not a child of God. But come on, parents, you've had those times with one of your children where, you know what, they just have gotten kind of a stubbornness about them, and they're kind of being disobedient, and they're it's like they're going to test you, and you know what, they just get, and you know what, you're trying to correct them and you're trying to do the right thing, and they're not getting their heart right and they're not making things right, and then all of a sudden they need something and they want to come over and turn on the charm. Come on. Listen, were we made in the image of God? And I think it allows us to understand that relationship a little bit, where it's kind of like, okay, girl, all of a sudden when you want this or you want that, you want to come all sweet, but what about these other situations that you're not taking care of? You're not making right. Amen. And so, you know, one of the best things and best piece of advice, again, young people, listen to me, is just, you know what, keep a short list with God. We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short. Come on, preacher does, everybody does, everybody on staff does, every adult in this room. We fail the Lord from time to time, but man, when the Holy Spirit convicts us about that, let's take care of it. Amen. Let's not get to the point where we're too proud to just stop, bow our heart and our head before the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I shouldn't have thought that, or I shouldn't have said that. Oh, Lord, I've got a rotten attitude about this. And Lord, you know, I'm letting everything be about me instead of about you, and I'm more worried about me than I am the people around me. And you know, folks, listen, sometimes we just kind of need to get some things right with the Lord. So during that eclipse tomorrow, you know, think of, okay, listen, what's blocking the light? What's blocking my relationship with the sun? You know, it ain't going to hurt the earth folks for 3.5 to 4 minutes. But if that thing stayed there, come on, if it stayed there for the next 30 years, the earth would be in trouble. And you know what? Come on, I'm not making excuses, but we're all going to fail. And you know what? Sometimes we need to wake up. We need to get it right. But hey, if you just leave it there, don't you think at some point some things are going to start dying? Let's go to the last one. And this is probably the one that's the easiest to do. This is probably the most common. This is probably the easiest to do because, you know, you say, preacher, you know, I do love the Lord and I'm trying to do right. And I mean it. I don't have a heart of rebellion. And I wake up every morning and I read my Bible and I pray and I intend to do the right things. And you know, then some mornings I get up and I get in a hurry and then I don't read the Bible like I ought to. And folks, there's this thing called neglect that we have to be really aware of. What are you talking about him? Look at verse number 10. Watch this, where it says verse number 10. Paul said this, and I love this statement. He said, that I may know him. That I may know him. He started talking about all the things that the world had to offer and all the things that he's just turned his back on and all the things he said no to. And he said, you know, young people, watch this. There's things worth sacrificing. Well, preacher, if I live a dedicated Christian life, then there's some things in this world I'm never going to experience. Yeah, and you're not going to have to deal with the guilt of it. And you're not going to have to deal with the scars of it. Thank God for it. You're not being robbed of anything. God would not withhold from you any good thing. If he says some things are off boundaries, it's because he's protecting you. Okay? But, you know, he said this. Paul, there was something in Paul's heart, man. He says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You know, here Paul's sitting over here and he's like, I've got a desire to have a relationship with Christ. I want to get to know him. I want to get to know him better every single day. I mean, every month, I want to be a little closer and a little closer. And folks, listen, in 2024, we ought to be closer to Jesus than we were in 2023. And that has to come from you, that I may know him. I want to know Jesus. I want to be close to him. I want to understand what it says when it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And you know what? That miracle of the resurrection allows us as Christians to live in the power of the resurrection. Remember, raised to walk the newness of life. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Or there's a right way to live your life. There's a good way to live your life. But sometimes we just suffer from neglect. Now, any relationship, listen, requires an investment. Any relationship requires an investment of time and effort. You know, and I want to thank, you know, the Nichols. I want to thank Brother AJ and Miss Tabitha. I mean, you know, last minute Monday, I found out I'm not going to be able to be there, and I kind of threw it into their lap. And by the way, he'd already behind the scenes planned 85-90% of it, you know, and I did it on purpose because my health has been suspect, and him, and I've got so many texts from the couples that were there just said, you'd been so proud of AJ and Tabitha. They just did such a good job. They just organized it and ran with it and did it, and it was good. But listen, marriage retreat, and I know it's not possible for all of you to have gone to it, and I'm not saying this for this reason, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to have the right kind of marriage relationship, it's going to take time. You're going to have to invest some time and you're going to have to invest some effort into it. And we would say that about any relationship. You know, if you have the right, come on, parents, you're going to have the right relationship with your children, and you can't go 100 miles an hour for week in, week out. And you know what? Come on, men, take off when they're still asleep and get home when they're still in bed and never spend any time. But you're not going to have a good relationship with them. It's going to require some time. It's going to require some effort. Well, listen, this is where we fall short. Because it's the same thing with Jesus. You know, if we're going to have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to require some time. Come on, some time. Didn't we sing tonight? Wasn't one of the songs, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer? It calls me from a world of care, calls me from a world of care. And yes, this world, folks, it just keeps us. It's like on a hamster wheel. And the devil will get you running 1,000,000 miles an hour and not going anywhere. And he'll bring distractions into your life. Think about that. What blocks the sun? neglect, just allowing myself to get so busy trying to live my life, listen, that I forget to spend time with the one who gave me life. So busy, think about that, trying to live my life, that I forget to spend time with the one who gave me my life. The Bible warns us in the parable of the sower. You know, so many times, folks, our Christian life gets choked out. There were some of those seeds that fell among the thorns, and the Bible says that that the thorns choked out the word. The word. I know it's talking about sowing the Bible, but folks, isn't Jesus? Come on, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And you know what? Sometimes what chokes out that relationship, think about this. Here's the description of the thorns. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust, that just simply means desires, the desires of other things entering in. I mean, come on. That is what the world will always try to insert into your life and existence. The cares of this world. You know what that word cares mean? Look it up. It means distractions or solicitude. You know, you ever seen the sign that says no solicitation? What's a solicitor do? They're always knocking on your door. They're always trying to get your attention. They're always trying to sell you something. The same word comes from the word distraction. The world, come on, solicits your time, insists on your time. The world will come up with 1,000 distractions. I mean this. Listen, this week the world will come up with 1,000 distractions designed to keep you out of church, away from your Bible, and away from your prayer time. Am I lying? Am I the only one battling this? Come on, help me, church. I'm not underestimating what the world will try to do. And the devil uses the world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, preacher, you know what? I can almost see the light of the end of the tunnel. And man, if I could just earn this much more, we could do this, and we could have this, and we could do this, and we could have this. And you know what? It's just like, you know what? Come on. It's like that carrot that's in front of the donkey, and if I just run a little faster, I'll get the carrot. And he doesn't realize that the carrot's positioned in such a way to just cause him to run fast and never catch it. And when is enough enough? And when does it really satisfy? And the lust, that just simply means the desires of other things entering in. So we got the cares of this world that's keeping us busy and distracted. We've got the deceitfulness of riches, because the world always dangles all that out in front of you. And you think, man alive, if I just have a little bit more, we can finally be happy. And folks, listen to me. It's not things that are going to make you happy. Not if they're blocking the sun. And then the desires of other things. And boy, the devil can bring all kinds of new things in your life. And next thing you know, our wanter is out of control. And this seems interesting. I'm going to try this. And we fill our whole life up with maybe things that aren't necessarily sinful, but we can just become so busy. Neglect. I'm talking about neglect. Where we just get so busy that, wait a minute, we just need from time to time say, wait a minute, what am I doing? I say this from time to time, but am I living life, or is life living me? And has the priorities kind of got out of whack a little bit? This, come on, tonight's about just some self-examination. I hope it's helping, you know. A song was made popular in the 1970s entitled "He Was There All the Time." Now think about that. The chorus is very simple. Think about this chorus of this song. He was there all the time. Talking about Jesus. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. This next line brings me such conviction. Waiting patiently in line. Yes. He was there all the time. Right. Jesus shouldn't have to wait in line. Right. You know, every once in a while I'll have a banquet out here and we'll have a guest speaker, and you guys have watched me do it, and you've always been so gracious in insisting that I do it, but you know, we'll have a guest speaker and we'll dismiss to go get in the food line, and I'll say to our guest speaker, you know what, let me get you up the front of the line. And they're always like, oh, no, we're fine. No, let me get you. No, we're fine. Come on. Let me get you to the front of the line. And everybody's going, yeah, bring them up the front of the line. And you know why? Because they're our guest speakers. And you know what, folks, I just wonder how many times I have to look back in my life and think, where was Jesus in line? How many times has he been in the back of the line? And you know what he'll do? He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Think about the words, waiting patiently in line. Boy, what's in line ahead of him, folks? What's so important that we have it in line ahead of Jesus? Nothing between. What number is that? You want to look in the songbook real quick. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. 308. Miss Rachel or Miss... Let me have Lauren come on up with you. Brother Nathan, we're going to finish the message by singing this song. Let me read the verse. You can go 308, grab the song. Go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. Before we sing it, let's look at the words. We'll sing this. We'll have a word of prayer. 308. I'm sorry, what?
It is not 308.
304? 304. Are you there, 304? Look at verse 1. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Watch this. I mean, is this everything? I love the old songwriters because they wrote the songs to match the scriptures. Okay? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Look at this. Not of this world's delusive dream. Come on. Unconfessed sin. I have renounced all what? Sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. Folks, exclamation point. It's almost like he realized, Jesus is mine. I mean, God has given me his son. He's mine. Then he says this, there's nothing between. Look at verse 2. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. There it is. Habits of life. Isn't that what we talked about? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. And then this exclamation point again. He is my all. You see that in the first verse? Jesus is mine. Second verse, he is my all. There's nothing between. Look at verse 3. Nothing between. Come on, help us. This is right here, guys. Like pride or station. Self. Come on, who's the number one problem? Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation. And then this, look at another exclamation point. I am resolved. There's nothing but Jesus is mine. He is my all. I am resolved. There's nothing between. Verse 4, nothing between even many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer. There it is, folks. Watch it. Look at there. And much what? Self-denial. And then this last little phrase, I love it. Triumph at last with nothing between. Why don't we just go ahead and give us an introduction, brother? Nathan, you lead us in this song. Let's sing all four verses. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Let's sing the chorus. Here we go. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing be. On that verse, verse number 2. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing. Let's sing the third verse. Nothing between like pride or station, self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing. Let's sing that fourth verse, the fourth verse. Nothing between any hard trial, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial. Triumph! I lost! There's nothing on that chorus. Here we go. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, folks. Keep the way clear. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You, dear God. Lord, thank You for the Bible and how much it helps us. Lord, thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank You for His still small voice that just communicates to us and just reminds us. And Lord, I'm so convicted. He was waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Oh, Lord, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. You shouldn't have to ever wait in line. I pray, dear God, that You do a sweet work during our invitation. Search us, Lord. Lord, know our hearts. Lord, our hearts are so wicked and so deceitful sometimes. We can convince ourselves we're just fine when down deep we know we're not. Thank You for services like this. Thank You for invitations like this. Thank You for a time, Lord, where we can just, the night before this eclipse, we can just say, nothing between. Nothing between. Keep the way clear. Keep the way clear. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between.